It's a wonderful privilege today to be able to tell you about my Savior. And I hope by the end of today, you can call him your Savior too. Let's start off with number 26 in the hymn sheet. Number 26. There is life in a today, it is my privilege to tell you about Jesus, to tell you about God who loves you, a God who could say, I love you so much
that I sent my only Son into this world to die on Calvary's cross for you. And he says, if you will simply believe, if you look to him, you can be forgiven. You can have that forgiveness of sins. And my burden tonight is that we're not promised tomorrow. We're not even promised the rest of this meeting. You could fall over dead right now. God is calling you to come to him right now. And my question to you is, why not tonight? Let's sing number 36. Number 36. Oh, do not let the word depart
and close thy eye against the light. For sinner harden not thy heart, thou wouldst be saved, why not tonight? Why not tonight? Why not tonight?
Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting the first three. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher. I'm not personally ordained a preacher. This was what was written from Paul to Timothy. But this is what my message for you is tonight. That you would come to be saved and to know the knowledge of the truth. It mentions here a God, a mediator. We had in our songs today What did we sing the first one? There's life in a look at the crucified one. There's a lot of big words that I said. And if there's one thing that I've learned from talking to my children, it's a lot of times I use words that they don't understand. And so I am going to try, as simply as I can, tell you the way of salvation in words that you can understand. And if I say something that you can't understand, please raise your hand and I can explain it. It mentions a savior. Why do we need a savior? I think we should start at the very beginning. We all like to start a story. We like to start at the very beginning. If we start in the middle, we don't know what's going on. Let's start at the beginning. We open our Bibles in the very beginning. It'll say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created all the plants, all the animals, the whole entire universe. He spoke into existence. He created humanity, Adam and Eve. He also created heaven. He also created hell in the lake of fire. That was designed for the devil and his angels who had fallen. You might ask me, why are you talking about this? What does this have to do with me? That's a very good question. Because you see, when humanity was created, it says we were created in the image of God. Did you know that God is a three-part being? Sometimes we might use the term the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But do you know that humans were created as a three-part being as well? We have a spirit, soul, and body. And did you know that our spirit and our soul will live on forever? We are created with a never-dying soul. And each one of us will one day end up in one of those two places, heaven or hell. So I have a question. What decides where you go? What decides? Oh, yes. Yourself, yeah. Our actions decide where we go. We can look into God's word, and it shall say, we'll look at it. In Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. In Ecclesiastes we read that God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing that you've done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Why would God do that? Why would God judge us for what we've done? My friends, God is a God of love, but God is holy. God does not like the bad things that we may do. He doesn't like sin. If you go to Psalm chapter 5, well, it's not a chapter, but Psalm 5, Psalm 5 and verse 4, it says, for thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. God says, I don't want any sin in my house. Sometimes you might go over to visit somebody, maybe your friends or a relative, and they say, take off those shoes before you come in my house. I don't want mud all over my floor. God says, I don't want any sin in heaven. But that leaves a problem. Because if God won't allow any sin into heaven, that only leaves one place left. The lake of fire, hell, judgment. We don't like that. But I think most of us are smart enough to know that we've all done something bad. Some of us who are as old as me have done a lot of things bad. A lot of things that I'm not proud of. But God says in James chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, is guilty of all. You only need to steal one thing, and you're a thief. It doesn't matter how many other good things you've done in your life, you're a thief. Did you take that extra cookie? Did you take that extra dessert when your parents said no? You're a thief. Did you lie hoping you were going to get out of trouble? You're a liar. That's a problem. Because God says that we must be perfect to get into heaven. And clearly, we're not perfect. But God, I said, remember this. When I started, I said, my Savior. God is a God of love. And his heart was, I don't want them to have to go to the lake of fire. I love you. I don't want you to go to hell. So how can God provide a way that you can go to heaven if he can't have sin in heaven? He sent his son. In John 3:16 it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God knew that the only way he could righteously offer you forgiveness of sins was if you could find someone who was absolutely perfect and they offered to be your substitute. Because if I wanted to try to save myself, I'm guilty. I can't save myself because I have to pay my own penalty. I would save you if I could, but I can't. The Bible says that no man can redeem his brother nor give a ransom for him. I'm just as guilty. God required somebody who is absolutely perfect to be able to pay that penalty of sin. And so he sent his son, the Lord Jesus, into this world. Sometimes we talk about it happening at Christmas. Bible doesn't say exactly when it happened, but he came into this world as a baby in Bethlehem's manger and was born. And he lived, and he did miracles, and he told everyone about his father. He told everyone. And you know what? Many didn't believe. They had excuses. They thought that they could do it themselves. Yesterday, in our talk, we had someone stand up and say, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I said earlier, I want you to get saved tonight because tomorrow's not promised. Tonight's not promised. The end of this meeting's not promised. Not for me, not for you. And you can only make that decision to come to the Lord Jesus while you're still alive. Did you know that? You can only come to the Lord Jesus while you're still alive. Because after death, the judgment, you can't change. Death seals that decision. Sometimes, you know, we like to think we have more time. Yesterday we learned that the devil's clock is always wrong. We always say later, I might be able to do it later, I can save myself. But in Proverbs 27, it says, boast not or don't brag about tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen. The other day, there was over 200 people who got on an airplane in India thinking they were going to fly to the United Kingdom. Plane went up, and right back down. And all but one went into eternity. If you had been on that plane, where would you be? You know, we like to think, we heard today, and oh, there was someone who was 80 years old. We like to think that we're going to grow to 80 years old. Death may find you while you're young. We're not promised tomorrow. I know a lot of people like stories, so I came up with one. And I didn't have to make it up. It was something that happened to me. A few weeks ago, I was driving to a project site for work. It was a route that I had taken hundreds of times in my life, driven this way. And I was right before the finish line, if you could say. My stop was 500 feet ahead. So close. And bam! Yeah, life can change that fast. Thankfully, I just hit a pothole. And the next thing I heard was thump, 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 thump. You know what? I thought I could save myself. Oh, I got a spare in the trunk and I got a jack. No big deal. I got roadside assistance. Pulled over to the side of the road, and you know what I found? Two flat tires and a busted rim. I couldn't save myself. But I had a backup plan. I had roadside assistance. I could call for a tow truck. So I called roadside assistance. I called for a tow truck. I said, I'm stranded here. Please save me. Come get my vehicle and take it. I want to go to this tire repair store. Yes, yes, they said, we can do that. And do you need a ride there? Yes. Okay. Half hour later, I get a call back from the tow truck driver. Oh, very sorry. I can't drive you. You need to find your own ride. But I can still get your car. Okay. So I called my wife who came to rescue me along with my children. The tow truck driver came and took my vehicle and hauled it off to the tire repair store. Problem solved, right? I get a phone call an hour later. Hello, this is such and such tire repair store. I said, why are you calling me? They're like, we have your vehicle. I said, I didn't tell them to take it to you. I said, I wanted to go somewhere else. They took me to the wrong spot. I had my faith and my hope in something that couldn't save me. I said I wanted to go to this spot. I thought I was. And I ended up in the wrong spot. My friends, Jesus is the only one who can save you. He's the only one who can forgive your sins. He says, there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. I thought this tow truck company, this roadside assistance was going to save me. I said where I wanted to go. Maybe you are saying that you want to go to heaven, but you have your faith in something that can't save you. That would be sad. Do you know with assurance where you're going to go when you die? Can you say with confidence that Jesus died for me, and I believe that he rose from the dead, and he washed away my sins? Sometimes we like to make it complicated. We go in John's Gospel, chapter 3. There was a story, and we can turn there. The beauty of the gospel is I can tell you the same story every single time. And it's something new and wonderful each time. These words were read yesterday. The story is the same. The question is, do you believe? We're not promised tomorrow. It says in verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why did Moses lift up a snake in the wilderness? That seems a rather strange thing to say. Just the same way Moses lifted up a snake on a stick in the wilderness? What happened there? We can go to that story in Numbers chapter 21. Numbers 21, start with verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses, said, wherefore, or why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And God sent fiery serpents, or venomous snakes, among the people, and they bit the people, and much people died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord. And against thee, pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looked upon it, shall live. We had a situation where the children of Israel sinned, and God sent in these poisonous or venomous snakes, and they bit the people, and they were all starting to die. And they cried for help. Do you think they thought it was a hurry? They say, oh, I'll do it when I'm 80. No, they have been bitten by this poisonous snake. And they knew that they were going to die. They needed to get it fixed right away. And so God had them put that symbol of death up on a stick, that snake on a stick. And he said, if you look to that, you can be healed. Do you think they waited and waited and waited and said, eh, I'll do it next year? Next conference? No, they wanted to be healed. They weren't promised tomorrow. They weren't even promised the rest of the day. Just like you're not promised the rest of this meeting.
You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised the ride home. You need to come, and you need to come right now. How do I come? It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In John, it said, you need to look at the Lord Jesus the same way they just simply looked in faith. It said, Lord, I believe that he died for me. Now he was buried and rose 3 days. But you know what? We like to make excuses. I don't think those children of Israel made too many excuses. I think they came right away. They saw that there was people dying. They knew that there was urgency. They've seen, I could be next. You could be next. If it happened to you, where would you spend eternity? Let's turn to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, start with verse 16. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper, and bade or invited many, and sent his servants at supper time to say unto them which were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then said the master of the house, being angry, and said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. The Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come, that my house may be filled. God wants his house filled. He wants you to come to heaven. He sent his son to die for you. Are you going to be like these ones here who made every excuse imaginable? Oh, I can't do it. I just bought some property. Sight unseen. I've never seen it. I need to go take a look. I just bought all these yoke of oxen. I bought all this machinery and I don't even know if it works. These were some pretty poor excuses. Are you making an excuse to God right now on why you haven't come? God wants you to come. You know, there will come a day when that door will shut. Right now, there is room. But there will come a day. In Luke chapter 13, in verse 25, it says, when once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, ye shall begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open, I want to come to heaven. Does he just say, yeah, sure, come on in? No. What does it say? And he shall answer and say, I don't know who you are. Then they shall say, we have eaten and drunk in your presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. And you shall be thrust out. My friends, I thought I had an hour. I thought I could go longer. My time has run out. If that was your life and your time ran out, where would you be? Sing number 25.
Life at best is very brief.
Close in prayer. Our God and our Father, we pray that if there's any here who has not yet made that choice to follow the Lord Jesus, that tonight they would heed that warning voice, that their time might run out before they expect it. They would come in simple faith and believe that the Lord Jesus died and rose for them. They would lay hold of it by faith. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.